You know what? I don't think there's any person here this morning that came here by chance. I believe everybody came by the provident will of God today. Otherwise, you wouldn't be here at all. Because His will is provident. There's not one thing that we can do to prevent His will from happening. Because He's sovereign. That means He's over all things. And there's nothing that we can do to stop that. And I, for one, and I think I can get a few amens from this, I, for one, would not even attempt to stop His will. Amen? Because I love Him, and I know He loves me. Now, I'll admit that I'm an imperfect human being. In fact, sometimes I'm an airhead. But I want to tell you something. This message today, I'm going to be preaching this message to all of us. No one is exempt. It's for everyone, but there's an emphasis on the fathers today, the dads. And the reason it's for all of us is because the Bible teaches us that we are to be transformed into the image of the Lord Jesus Christ. So the name of the sermon is, let's all be transformed. Amen. Let's be transformed into the image of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I said that to say this. It's one serious message, but it's also a message that has some humor in it. And it's not the serious part that I'm worried about. It's the humorous part that I'm worried about. Because as a pastor, as a preacher, as an evangelist, as a preacher of the gospel, when we try to use humor, we know within one nanosecond whether it's funny or not. And the reason we do is because of your reactions. And so I'm going to know whether it's funny or not by your reactions. And that's all well and good, but I'll tell you what else I'm going to know. I'm going to know whether you believe what the Bible says within a nanosecond from when I say what I'm going to say today. Because you can't hold it back. The expressions on people's face tell it all. Sometimes the silence in the room also tells it all. And so I want to challenge you not to be so silent today. And to let the Lord know that you love Him. When you hear something you agree with, just say amen. And let Him know you're here. He knows you're here anyway. But since we're all here gathered in His name, why not make a little noise for the Lord today? Amen? Amen. Find Ephesians chapter 6. Now, I know I was going to preach my second sermon today in the series entitled A Model Church and a Model Church Member. But I've decided, no, I didn't decide it. The Lord decided for me that that's not what I was going to preach today. He gave me something else to preach to today, especially given the fact that it's Father's Day 2019. He gave me this message that I want to preach today to you. Chapter 6 of the book of Ephesians. And I'm going to read four verses, and they're the first four verses in the chapter. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment, with promise, that it may be well with thee, and thou mayest live long on the earth. And ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we pray today. We call upon your name in reverence today. And we ask you, Lord, to bless this reading from your holy word. Bless this sermon by exposing the good news of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And may our hearts, O God, meditate on you both day and night. And by the power of the Holy Spirit, Lord, grant that we may hear your voice and be led in the way you would have us to go. And these things we pray in the name above all names, in Jesus' name. Amen. I read that someone noticed in their particular edition of the dictionary that the word father appeared just before the word fatigued and just after the word fathead. And so with that said, to all of us fatigued, fat-headed fathers, happy Father's Day. Little boy, one little boy, maybe several little boys have done this, but one little boy asked to define Father's Day. And he said this, well, it's something like Mother's Day, a little bit, but the only difference that I see is you don't have to spend as much money on the gift. I know you're thinking, here we are, 10 million comedians are out of work, and the preacher's up here trying to be a comedian this morning. But I want to tell you what I believe. I don't believe the Lord wants us to be a bunch of stick in the muds. I'd much rather be laughing than crying, wouldn't you? You don't want to see me getting to a crying jag. I want to just tell you right now, it is not a pretty sight to see. Because when I get to crying, I can't stop. Sometimes I've had what we, Connie and I, call belly laughs. Anybody ever had a belly laugh? A belly laugh is when you get to laughing and you can't stop laughing because it just keeps on giving you that feeling inside and you just can't cut it off. Have you ever gotten tickled in church and you did? It was really something that was going on your pew and not something that came out of the pulpit. And you try to quit laughing, and you just can't stop. And every time you look at the person that you're laughing at or laughing with, they just get more all the more tickled. And so God doesn't want us to be stick in the muds, especially on a wonderful day like today, which is Father's Day. He wants us to have just a smidgen of a good time. And that's what I want us to do. Now, we can have a good time through humor, through the humorous things that I may say, but I'll tell you something else. We can have a good time in the Lord. We can have a good time in Jesus today, and I think we should, because I can remember when I was a little boy, all the good times I had with my earthly father. I'm sure that all of you can remember the good times you've had with your earthly fathers. And so when we had a good time, we didn't hold anything back. And so we've got a heavenly father. We've got a father who can do anything, and so why not try to have some fun with the father today? Amen? I said, why not have some fun with the Father today? Amen? Amen. There you go. I want to hear you today. I want you to get involved in this. As most of you know, we are in a new era. Kids in this day in which we live don't have the same thinking that we had back in the 60s and 70s. They've got a new way of walking. They got a new way of talking. They've got a whole new vocabulary, and a lot of times I don't really understand their vocabulary too good. And a lot of times they don't say anything, amen? A lot of times all you can see them do is this, with that phone, you know? They just talk to each other by texting and don't say too many words today. But if they do talk, and they should, it's a different language than we talked in our day, in my day. And parents frequently do not understand that language. They just really don't get it either all the time. They don't understand what the kids speak about because the kids speak differently today. Some parents even make the mistake of thinking they can speak the same language as their children. And I'll tell you, when you do, parent, you'll be the first one to know that you didn't say it right. Amen? I said, you'll be the first one to know that you didn't say it right. Amen? Amen. Now, come on. I'm not going to let you off the hook today. Y'all are going to have to help me this morning, okay? We see this thing going on, these misunderstandings that happen in families and between parents and their children all the time in a lot of different ways. And even though we Americans supposedly speak the English language, I don't know if any of you have been over into Great Britain in your lifetime or not, but if we go to Great Britain and we speak this American dialect that we speak over in Great Britain, or if a Brit comes over here and speaks the British dialect here in this country, sometimes the words don't match. What they say is different from the way we say it. Even the definitions of particular words are not the same definition that this word, the word that we say over here, means to them. In for example, a bonnet. What's a bonnet? Something you wear on your head? When you think of a bonnet, you either think of, if you're like me, you think of blue bonnet margarine or maybe an Easter bonnet. An Easter bonnet, I guess, would be what most of us would think about. But in Britain, did you know that a bonnet in England is the hood of a car? That's what a bonnet is. They call the bonnet the hood of a car. And the same is true between the dialect, between parents and children. Talking to 21st century children is a different, takes a different dialect in order to understand it. At first, we may think that we get it, but the further on into it, we understand that it is totally a different way of thinking and talking. So in the interest of a better transgenerational communication between the old and the new, here's some present-day phrases and their translations. And we'll just call this when you kids say this. When your kid says, "I can finish my hamburger." Translation: your son has eaten enough. When your kid says, "I can't finish my fish," which means your daughter, who doesn't even like fish in the first place, figures she's eaten enough fish to satisfy mom and still be able to get dessert. When your kid says, "I can't finish my dessert," translation: you better put them in the car and get them to the ER really quick, because there's definitely something wrong. When your kid says, "I didn't do it," the translation is, "It hasn't been conclusively proven that I've done it." When your kid says, "Frankie Smith is such a no good, rotten liar," translation is, you can expect a call from Frankie Smith's parents. When your kid says, "Mom said it was okay," translation says, "I'm going to ask Mom if Dad says it's okay." Expression: "Dad, can I have a dog?" Which means your son wants a dog. "Dad, can I have a 9-foot boa constrictor?" Which means your son wants a dog, but figures by asking something that ridiculous and despicable as a boa constrictor puts him in a better position of negotiation. "Oh, son, you don't want a boa constrictor, don't you? Wouldn't you rather have a puppy?" Well, there are a lot of other reasons that we could go into today, but rather than speak about all these things, I want to speak to the men in the house today. I want to speak directly to you. Fathers and grandfathers, married and single, young and old, this message is for all of us. And what I have to say is, I hope, making us better dads, but more than that, I hope it'll make us better people, better men and better women. I hope this gets into your very being today. Proverbs chapter 22, verse 6 is a verse that most of us have memorized. It says, "Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it." Everybody knows that verse. And where it says he, you can just put she in there. It's interchangeable. We love our children. We love our grandchildren. We want to see them have things, and we want to treat them well. In fact, we want to spoil them rotten, and that's okay. Yet sometimes they turn away from us. Sometimes, even though we've taken them down the right road, we've trained them up in the way that they should go, sometimes they take a little side trip. Sometimes they journey off of the road. Sometimes they even get on to a road that we simply don't agree with whatsoever. We don't approve of the road that our children go down in life. And that's just the way that it is. This is nothing new. It's not a 21st century problem. This has been a problem all the way back. All the way back to the beginning of time. So it's nothing new. And the Bible proves that when it says there is nothing new under the sun. It's all happened to somebody else at some point and sometime in the annals of time. So there's nothing new. But in the end, if our hearts remain open to our children, and I want to say this about that, they should stay open to our children, no matter what. No matter what they do. No matter which direction they go. No matter what they decide. Whether right or wrong, friend, you need to stay and keep the door open to your children. And you need to love them unconditionally. Because they're going to take the wrong road occasionally. They're going to do the wrong thing because they're human. And there is no human who does everything right all the time. Never has been, never will be. But we need to remain, our hearts need to be open to them. Because if the correct foundation has been laid, we'll see them come back. Why do I say that? I don't say it. God says it. He says, train them up in the way they should go, and they may get on the wrong road, but friend, if you've laid the right foundation, they're going to come back to you. So you better have that door open to them when they come. Amen. It's unconditional love. And we should have that because our Heavenly Father has it for us. Because there's not a one of us that hasn't done something wrong in our life. But when we do something wrong, the Scripture says that if we come and we confess our sin to our Heavenly Father, that He will open the door and He'll welcome us back in. And there's not a better picture of that in the whole Bible than the story of the prodigal son. You know, you read the story of the prodigal son. He was a boy who wanted his daddy to give him his inheritance immediately. He wanted the inheritance. And really what he was saying to his father is, I wish you were dead now because I want what's mine. And his father finally gave it to him and let him go. Sometimes, moms and dads, we got to let the children have what's theirs and let them go. Let them fly the nest. Let them get out in the world. And hope that if you've brought them up, trained them up in the way they should go, that they won't depart from what you've taught them. They might get sidetracked, but they'll come back. If the door remains open, they normally will come home one of these days. Parent, keep it open. No matter what goes on, keep it open. That's the biblical advice that I have for you today. But I think part of the problem we have as parents is not so much that we have difficulty understanding the children's language. Friends, I'm convinced a portion of the problem is that as parents, as moms and dads, we often either don't know the way or we haven't shown our children the way. We haven't shown them exactly the way they should go. And more importantly, when we know the way, we so often fail to live it out in front of our children in the way that we know it should be. We don't often set the example that we should set before our children. Now, I know we've heard the old saying, monkey see, monkey do. Now, I'm not calling you babies monkeys, but your babies are very impressionable because they react on what they see. And so, if you're walking a walk in front of your children that isn't according to the scriptures, they're going to see that. But if you're walking a walk in your Christian life, if you've got a foundation based and built upon this word, they're going to see what you do too. And they're so impressionable, they're going to do what you do. They're going to act the way you act. They're going to talk the way you talk. And they're going to react the way you react. Because they see the way you do it. And if we're a good example to our children, as set forth in the scriptures, they're not only going to be good children, they're going to be good adults someday too. They're going to be good people. They're going to be people that others are going to see the good things that they were raised with. And then they're going to be infectious to the people that they're around, and so on and so forth. And so we must be a good example so they'll be a better person. And so our children, in this day in which we live, who see the ungodliness in their parents' life, they become ungodly people. They become angry. They become distant. They become alienated from us. And even worse than that, if you can think of anything worse than that, there is. They become alienated with God. And that has really happened in the day in which we live. This generation, and perhaps even the last, and even part of my generation, have alienated themselves from God. And I want to say that's a catastrophe. It's no wonder that we're in the mess we're in. And we're in a mess. And there's no easy way to fix the mess save coming to the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, I've been listening to Billy Graham. If you haven't got XM Radio, get XM Radio for one reason. Channel 460, the Billy Graham channel. Man, it's good. And I get to listen to Billy Graham preach. And he said, "My Heavenly Father," don't you just love to hear him talk? "We've got some literature for you." I love it. Amen. If there's anybody that I wish I could be like, it's Billy Graham. The way he preached his entire life, I mean, it's powerful. I've noticed something that I've got to hear him preach one message after another. He really doesn't have a different message. He doesn't. Every one of his messages are the same thing. And one of the things he says is that humanity is looking for something that they can't find. But he also says, "I don't believe there's really such a thing as a real atheist." I agree with him. Because the atheist says that I'm going to look for a different way. But there hasn't been one religion that has ever been known on this face of the earth that has not believed that there's a higher power. Not one. You can go down through the whole thing and you can find that they all believe there's a higher power. Where they make the mistake is they don't know who the higher power is. The higher power is Almighty God. They search for something. They look for something over here, over here. Let's turn this rock over. Let's look at this book. Let's read this philosophy. Let's see what this guy says. Let's see what that girl says about this. All they need to do is look in here and see that the answer is Jesus. There's no other answer. And they look for something they can't find when it's as plain as the nose on their face. Do you know why they think that every religion says, believes that there's a higher power? Because that's how we're made. We're made in the image of God. He's a higher power. And so it's woven into our DNA. Men, if we're going to teach our children and train them in the way they should go, we got to stand up and be men. We got to be the men that God says we should be. And we're not being those kind of men. We are not being those kind of men. And that's a shame. We got to live godly lives. We got to be like Jesus. We got to ask ourselves, what would Jesus do? How would Jesus handle this? And you can't ask that question unless you know him. You got to have him in your heart. We must keep our promises. There used to be a group of men called the Promise Keepers. Men, you got to keep your promises concerning your children and your family, but you've got to keep your promise concerning your relationship with the Lord. We got to be mature in the faith. We've got to be, listen to this, we have got to quit letting mama tell you what to do all the time and stand up and be the spiritual leader of your home. And when you are, she'll follow you. She'll go with you. But you got to stand up and be that first. And we got to quit going that way. We got to be men. Jesus Christ is a picture of a father. He's the head of the church, not the tail. And we got to be like Jesus. We got to be committed to a strong biblical marriage. The way that the Bible says that it should be. Not the way the world says it should be, but the way God says it's going to be. And God says that marriage is between one man and one woman. That's the way that it is. Any other definition of marriage is not correct according to the Scriptures. As men of Christ, we've got to devote ourselves to demonstrating the love of the Lord Jesus Christ throughout the entire community. In the church, in the home, in your community, the result will be not only will our lives be renewed, not only will we become the dads that we're supposed to be, the grandfathers that we're supposed to be, not only will that happen, but we'll see the whole community will be renewed. Your family will be renewed. Your church will be renewed. Your community will be renewed. And ultimately, the whole world will be renewed. But first, you have to be a godly man in the first place. You got to be what God called you to be. And it works. It's worked over and over and over. Don't have to look for a philosophy. Don't have to look for secular humanism's answer. Don't have to look for your God to be anything except who God is, and that's Jehovah God, the creator of heaven and earth. That's as far as you need to look. Men, it works. The secret of all successful marriages, all successful men, all successful mothers, all successful fathers is in two sets of hands. Those are the hands of Almighty God, first and foremost, and the hand of you. And if we're men that allow those two hands to link together, the results are incredible. Lives will be changed. Lives will be improved. Families will mend that are dysfunctional. I want to tell you something. I see dysfunction going on in the families on this planet today. And I see dysfunction going on in the church today. And there's no room for dysfunction to be in the church or in a family if God's first. Well, this guy don't preach like no Southern Baptist preacher. It's time for Southern Baptist preacher to stand up and preach the truth. Man, I didn't know this was going to happen. Hallelujah. You know, men don't always say what they mean. Right, ladies? When a man is asked the question from mama, lots of times he says, it'd take too long to explain that, honey. And what that really means is, I have no clue. When a man says, take a break, honey, you're working way too hard. What it really means is, honey, I can't hear the ball game. Turn that vacuum cleaner down so I can hear. When a man says, yes, I heard you, dear, what he really means, I have not the foggiest idea what you just said. I'm just hoping desperately that I can fake it so you'll think that I did. And if it hurts your feelings, there's two ways to answer every question. If one of them hurts your feelings, it's not that one that I meant. It's the other one that I meant. The guy says, I can't find it. Honey, I can't find it. And the reason they can't find it is because it didn't fall in their lap when they went to see where it was. Right? Am I speaking the truth? Paul shares the word that he received from the Lord concerning children and parents. He says, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with a promise, that it may go right with you and that you may enjoy life, long life on this earth. He also says, fathers, don't provoke your children. That means don't exasperate your children. Instead, bring them up in the training and the admonition or the instruction of the Lord. Friends, these words are absolutely the inspired word of God. Don't provoke. That means don't get them frustrated. Don't frustrate your children. Don't annoy your children, or even worse. A child will respond, friends, to obey a firm hand. I am convinced that children are looking for a firm hand that they can obey. And when you are firm with your children, don't annoy them, don't exasperate them, don't cause them some sort of confusion, but be firm. And when you are firm with them and you temper that with your love, and that's the key, temper your firm hand with love, they'll respond to you. I believe that, don't you? Don't break your promises. Don't neglect. Don't mindlessly indulge in everything they want. Don't give them everything they want. A lot of parents try to make their children live out their childhood by giving them everything they want. You know what you're doing when you do that? Setting them up for failure. That's what you're doing. They shouldn't get everything they want. And if we're guilty of any of this, and I know that I'm guilty of some of it, children will undoubtedly lose respect for their parent if you're guilty of any of these things. Brothers, God gives us a better way. God tells us a better way to bring them up, to bring them up in the instruction of the Lord. You can't do that if you're taking them fishing or hunting or to the ballpark or to the soccer field or to a ball game in Nashville or to a ball game in Knoxville and not coming to church. Amen. They need to be in church. Amen. You need to be in church. And parenting has never been easy. Never will be. It's not easy to be a good father, godly father, and a godly mother, but it has incredible challenges, incredible pains, incredible joys if you'll bring them up in the love and the admonition of God, of the Lord. It won't be easy. It won't be something that just falls into your lap. But we can do better with our children if we just will and we'll look to God's word. We'll follow his instruction. The pastor at Hillview Baptist Church is a father who has had the dreaded responsibility of burying his only son, his only child. I'll straighten that up. The father or the pastor of your church has buried his son with the help of a loving wife by his side. I couldn't have done it without her. She couldn't have done it without me. The thing is, when there's a godly marriage And that marriage is brought together in the way the Bible says that it should be. And you become bone of bone and flesh of flesh. When you're up, she may be down, but when you're down, she may be up. And that's what happened. When I was down, she would bring me up. When she was down, I would lift her up. And you know what? We made it through. And we're still going through. There's a story of a pastor who had a very similar thing that went on in his life. He was a called man of God, and he had a great little family. And his middle son became sick. And they took the little boy to the doctor, and the doctor examined the child and went through rigorous tests and found out that the child was terminally ill. He had a disease, and it was going to take his life. And it was devastating. How was this called preacher going to go tell his little boy that the doctors say there's no hope? How was he going to tell his little child that he was going to die? And he mustered up the strength, and he prayed, and he walked in to a little boy who had a terminal illness, who was only had days to live, according to the story. He walked into the room in that hospital, the room of his little boy, who had received Jesus as his Lord and Savior. He walks into the room, and he sat down by the bed, and he gently said, "Son, the doctors say that there's no hope, that you only have a few more days to live." And then this devoted father, this devoted pastor, asked the little dying boy, "Are you afraid to have to leave this life and go meet Jesus?" And the little boy wiped a few tears from his eyes, and he looked into his father's eyes, and he said, "Not if he's like you, Daddy. Not if he's like you." That's what we've got to be, men. We got to be men that look to God and live a godly life in front of your children and bring them up in the way they should go and hope that God saves their soul. Not if he's like you, Daddy. Not if he's like you. Bow your heads. Father, I pray right now for every father in this building today, that we are hearing your voice calling. And Lord, I pray that we'll be in this race of life that is a marathon, and we'll run this race until it's completely finished. And when it is finished, that we will finish well. And we come into eternity, perhaps exhausted from the marathon that we've been in, and we collapse exhausted into our Savior's arms, knowing we had not one more thing to give. To the voice of our Savior saying, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant. You have fought the good fight. You have finished the race." I pray that prayer for our fathers today and for mothers. Oh God, help us. Help us in this day that we live. Help us to be in the world but not a part of the world. Help us be godly parents. Help us have the strength that we need to do what's right. Help us have the strength that we need to say no. Help us have the strength that we need to bring our family into the presence of the Lord. And we give you praise, honor, and glory. In Jesus' name, amen.